Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. We've begun to air the Soul Ties series. These programs are a powerful tool regarding personal relationships and biblical principles. Pastor Steve, today's message discusses past relationships.
Yes, we have to start taking inventory of our relationships because some of our past relationships can present present-day temptations in our lives. We've tried to walk away from some things from our past, but the people from the past keep bringing those temptations back into our lives. This is going to really be interesting today. We'll find out what God says about leaving the past behind.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. Let's get into today's program. Hello and welcome to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
When we talk about relationships, we're talking about something that influences and affects us for all eternity. I want to begin by reading 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul." We've been discussing the subject of understanding influences that affect our behavior and the behavior of others. And one of the most powerful influences is that of a soul tie. A soul tie is the knitting together of two or more people in a relationship and the influence that they develop in each other's lives. A soul tie can either be a blessing or bring harm to your life. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, it says, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." I gave this illustration before, but I want to give it again. Every parent knows that the other children in the neighborhood will influence their child. And if they discover that a boy down the street named Johnny is rebellious and disrespects his parents, they will warn their children to stay away from Johnny. Why? Because the influence of others can transfer to us. We are all influenced by the people that we associate with and those we join hands with. In fact, one of the things that you must do once God delivers you is to take inventory of your friends and your associations in your life. Because most of those people, you will find out that you must leave behind. The reason being that you are pursuing the future that God has for you. And they may not be a part of that future. Actually, they present a portal to your past where Satan can gain access to attack your life once again. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it shows how God will separate you from your past to bless your future. The Bible says, "Then the Lord told Abraham, leave your country, your relatives and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation, and I will bless you and make you famous, and I will make you a blessing to others." It's important not to reestablish relationships from our past when God is not in it, because they will become a trap to you. Now, you just heard the word that God gave to Abraham. But Abraham, we found out, took his nephew Lot with him. That was disobeying God and God's plan, because God had said, "Leave your country and your relatives." Abraham was to leave his country, his relatives, and his friends. so that he could walk into the new season that God had for his life. Many times, people from the past bring you back into the old season because they've never left. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus could do very few miracles in his own hometown because they saw him as the carpenter's son. People from your past will rarely see where you really are today because they remember you when. Abraham disobeyed God by taking his nephew, and Lot was a continual thorn in Abraham's side. He kept extending resources for him and energy to save Lot over and over again because he did not belong in his future. And people that you bring into your future who don't belong there, they will also weigh you down. They will also influence you one way or another. Now people say, what's the harm with this? What are you talking about? These are longtime friends. Listen, people, there are spiritual things often we don't understand. But there are spiritual elements that attack all of our lives. You remember when you were without Christ, how there were things you did not want to do, but you did. It was because of a spiritual influence over your life. But when you came to Jesus, you got set free from that thing. Well, that thing is still after you. And that thing will try to gain entrance back into your life through a relationship. Eventually, Lot's own daughters seduced him and gave birth to men who became the nations who became Israel's, that is Abraham's grandchildren's, enemies. So even when nothing happens today, you have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Lot would have never been with Abraham. This would have never occurred if he had simply left the past behind him. This is a message for someone today. Now in Genesis 19 and 36, listen, it said both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father. The older daughter had a son, and she named him Moab. And he is the father of the Moabites of today. The younger daughter also had a son, and she named him Ben-Ami. And he is the father of the Ammonites of today. See, so we say, what's the past? What's the problem with the past and having past friends? How can they bring harm? God is never wrong. He sees the future. And he sees what can happen to your life. It says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. The word there, yoked, is talking about friendships. It's talking about being a team. For what do righteous and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? It goes on to say in verse 17, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not unclean things, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This whole subject of soul ties talks about how our relationships will influence us. A soul tie can be developed through couples, friends, co-workers, individuals that you respect and look up to, even to those you fellowship with in a church or community. Now, in the church, there are pure friendships and relationships that are formed between people, and they draw strength and encouragement from them. In fact, in the early church, we see that they were knitted together as believers. They maintained unity. They enjoyed constant fellowship. In Acts 4 and 32, it says, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him, that it was his own, that is, but all things were common property to them. But in such an environment, there is always those in a congregation who are not obedient to God's word and may have wrongful motives. This is important for you to understand, because Everyone here looks perfectly fine today. Everyone here looks like they have a great relationship with God. But only God knows our heart. Only God knows what needs to be fixed in our lives. And when you come into a church, into a congregation, the Bible says we are to love one another as ourselves. That means we're all open to each other here. And that is the reason why we must read the Word of God to be able to discern between the soul and the spirit of individuals. Because that is the only method that you can really tell where a person is spiritually in their life. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." See, only when we submit to the Bible can we discern if our soul is deceived by our emotions or our feelings. Now, let me say this again, because this is very, very important. You know, there have been many people who say, "Well, I don't go to church." Well, why don't you go to church? Because there's hypocrites in the church. Well, I believe the church is like a hospital. People come into church, and let me just be honest and frank as far as I'm concerned. None of us are perfect. Maybe that person thinks they're perfect who would say that. But there's nobody perfect except for the Lord. So we all need God's help. And we're in different degrees of the help that we need. But as long as we stay in church, we'll all be healed. Somebody say amen. All right? So yes, there are some people in the church who have not fully given themselves to God. And that's something that is just truth. But what's interesting is even in the Bible, Jesus spoke a parable about this. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as everyone slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat." See, in every church, there are saints and ain'ts. Jesus said we could distinguish between the saints and the ain'ts by examining their fruit. Now, let me explain this to you. In Matthew chapter 7 and 18, Jesus is talking about fruit there. See, we can't just look at a person's outward religious veneer. We really get to know people by what they do, by their behavior, and by their character. And that's what Jesus said we must examine. It says in verse 18, "A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire." Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit that is produced in their lives. So in church, especially since we're a family, it's important that we become fruit inspectors. People say, "Well, you're not to judge. Don't judge." The Bible says we are not to judge lest we be judged. But Jesus said, become a fruit inspector. We talk about fruit. We're really talking about a person's character and their behavior. And if we would just follow the word of God, we would not be confused about people in the church. Because in the church, you have saints and ain'ts. And it has to do with the fruit of their behavior.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
This is Pastor Steve. Thanks so much for listening to the program today. We are living in perilous times, but I want to let you know something. God has protecting angels watching over us. And I just feel like I need to say that. One of my favorite scripture verses is Psalm 91. Let me read for you a few verses. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, for he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. He goes on to say, I will keep you from trouble, and I will deliver you, and I will honor you, and with long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. My friends, today, God is watching over us, so we have nothing to fear. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hurst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Now, let me show you an incident that occurred in the early church where, because of a soul tie between a husband and a wife, they agreed to lie to spiritual leadership in the church, and it had great consequences for their lives. You know, I don't know if we as Christians really believe what the Bible says. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. The Bible says, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Did you know that? And did you also know this revelation? There are no white lies. A lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. And all liars will have a part in the lake of fire and brimstone is what the scripture says in the book of Revelation. Now, in the early church, where the Holy Spirit had just descended and there was so much power and the presence of God in those services, it was not wise to even tell a lie in the church. The Bible says, holiness without which no one shall see the Lord. In other words, our lives have to be submitted to the Word of God, and we ought to follow it with the help of the Holy Spirit. But in Acts 5 and 1, it says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, at this time, what was happening because of the love of God and changed lives, individuals were selling their property and giving it to the church. Oh, if you have property to sell and you'd like to give it to the church, God bless you today. We will receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. This is what they were doing in the early church. God would speak to their hearts and they didn't care. They said, all of my possessions belong to the Lord. Come on, everybody lift your hands and say, all of my possessions come from God, and they belong to the Lord. Put your hands down. Now, I want you all to take out your checkbooks. No. You don't have to do that this morning. But I'm just trying to prove a point. All we have really belongs to God. And when you have radical Christianity, if you really believe God, guess what? You'll give him everything you have. You'll give him your last dime if you're moved upon by the Holy Spirit. These people were taking their properties and they were taking the deeds to those properties and they were selling them and they were getting money. And when they got the money, they would give it to the disciples. They'd put it down at their feet and say, God has blessed me with this property. I'm giving it to the church. Oh, hallelujah. I feel a sermon coming on. I'm trying to move on from here. I'm really trying hard. But again, in every church, there are saints and ain'ts. Come on, help me say it. In every church, there are saints and ain'ts. Now, it has nothing to do with what side of the church you're sitting on this morning, because I'm talking about the platform up here. Notice I'm standing right in the middle. But Ananias and Sapphira were sitting in services where they saw people come up and give that money. And because they were recognized and the people blessed God for them, they said, huh, I want to get in on that. I could be one of those people. We have a little bit of property, don't we? Well, when they went and saw their property, they saw how much money they got. They said, oh, this is too much money to give to the church. We need to keep some of this money. How many times do we pray that God will bless us? God will bless us with a sum to pay a vow, to pay some sum to the church to build up his kingdom. And when we get the money back and we look at how much it is, we say, well, look at all this money. Now, maybe we don't need to give God all this money, or we'll give him this lump sum here and pay the rest in increments. That incremental money goes into your savings account and you put a lock on it. And it's only because God sees all things that he'll ever see that money again. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they got that money back from their property and they decided, we need to keep some of this money. After all, it is our property. The Bible says in verse number 2, with his wife's full knowledge, they kept back part of the money for themselves, but they put the rest at the apostles' feet. Now listen, folks, there is nothing that you can do that you can hide from the Holy Spirit. God is everywhere. God sees everything. It doesn't matter if you do it in the dark. The Bible says even the dark is like light to God. So think about that the next time you're doing something in the dark, because you're trying to hide it from God. I know some people that turn off the light. See, you may be uncomfortable with the light, but God can see in the dark. The Bible says in verse 3, then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? You've kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land. Now listen, folks, this is important for you to understand. The money was his all the time. But because he wanted the glory, he wanted the praise of man, he said, I gave all the money, honey. And he did not. You cannot come before God and lie. Now, I know a lot of people are doing that. One day it'll be revealed. Depending on what church you're in, it can be revealed at the same time. So watch out. They were in the church of the Holy Spirit. So Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Because you kept for yourself some of the money that you say that you gave. It goes on to say in verse 4, didn't it belong to you before you sold it? And after you sold it, wasn't all the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied to men, you have lied to God. And let me just say this about lying. Whenever you tell a lie, God is listening. Did you know that? Don't you dare think that the God of the universe closes his ear every time you lie. Or he closes his eyes every time you do something that's wicked and wrong. Just the opposite. He said, huh, what did he say? God says, what are they doing? Ananias didn't realize the power of God.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. We're so grateful for your continued support and listenership. If you've been blessed by our ministry, we humbly ask that you consider helping us keep this daily broadcast on the air by making a donation. Your contribution will make all the difference. To give, simply visit our website at aplacetogrow.org. Every gift helps us continue spreading the message of hope and encouragement. May God richly bless you, and we look forward to being with you again tomorrow. The Soul Ties series continues today with part 4. Join us Monday for part 5. Now Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
This is Pastor Steve, and perhaps you're going through some difficulties in your life. The Bible says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify my name. Father, I just pray for every person who's going through difficult situations right now, those who are stressed out, those who don't know which way to turn, those who have been asking you for direction. I pray that you would grant your spirit to direct them. You told us to acknowledge you in all of our ways, and you would direct
our paths. We're believing that, Lord, for every listener right now. I pray divine guidance, blessing, and encouragement upon their lives. I pray, Lord God, that you will help them to fulfill your purpose and destiny for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hurst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.